Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to PrettyLitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is Four Center, a show about Star Wars, pop culture, the ultimate adventure, life itself, and sometimes you travel and news breaks while you're traveling. We're back. I'm Ken Napsok.
I'm Joseph Scrimshaw, and we were both traveling as the Empire made a big trailer noise that went wow, and people got very very excited, but we were happy to be here to talk about the Tales of the Empire trailer, right, Ken?
Yes, indeed. Thank you for the patience to allow us to get to this point. Jennifer is out today watching the trailer for herself to take it all in. This was very exciting stuff. We're going to break it down. I love when news drops and either you kind of think it's coming, you're not sure if it's coming, or you're completely caught off guard, which was the case for me, probably in a Boston area Dunkin' Donuts, getting my fourth Boston cream donut of the weekend and going, oops, we got to check this out. But here we are. Yes, you're correct. We're diving in.
Yeah, and I had a reaction. I won't put an emotion on it. I went and I watched the trailer. I enjoyed it. I saw on social media that people were excited about it, and I am excited about it, and I'm excited that people are excited. But I also had that, like, wait, didn't they announce Tales of the Jedi Season 2? It wasn't a cryptic, you know, Dave Filoni wearing a, you know, Tales ? T-shirt. They straight up announced Tales of Jedi Season 2. So I had this is great, but is it Tales of the Empire and Tales of the Jedi? Or, as was suggested by the trailer, the burning away of the Jedi logo, that it was, we announced Tales of the Jedi Season 2, but what we meant was we were doing another season of shorts, and we wanted to surprise you all they're actually doing Tales of the Empire, and they're currently doing a merchandising thing that's, you know, they've done it before for like seasons of Mandalorian, where, you know, or during Kenobi, like every week here's a couple new drops, and they're doing that currently for the Empire. So it feels like they're in a little season of a building up to May 4th. They're like, you know what, let's celebrate the baddies.
That's right.
Yeah, so that was my reaction of enjoying the trailer, but also being just a little bit confused about the, well, is there a Tales of the Jedi? So I definitely want to talk about what is actually in the trailer, but this is a little unlike us, but I'm just being honest of like, first I want to talk about what's not there because we talk so much, us on Force Center and everybody else in the community, about guesses, expectations, dreams for Tales of the Jedi season two. So how do you feel about, that this isn't another Tales of the Jedi season? Particularly, I think what I'm responding to is we just had so much speculation that Asajj's story with her resurrection and the fate of Quinlan Vos might be in a Tales of the Jedi season two, since we got her appearance in Bad Batch and we got the confirmation from official sources that there is more Asajj storytelling coming. A lot of people went like, it's right around the corner. May 4th, Tales of Jedi season two. And that is now not the case. So how do you feel about that?
I'm happy to start here and be honest about it. There have been some very strong rumors from some sources that are now we can say, I guess, confirmed, because this was almost predicted to a T by a little small circle. And even when I heard those rumors, I was like, yeah, that's great. And the rumor was Tales of the Empire. That's great. But man, there's a lot on the table with Tales of the Jedi. I think we all fell in love with the potential for that format and those stories. The speculation you, me, and Jennifer had of Luke and young Ben and all these characters in the past. So, you know, you could follow, Plo Koon leading up to his final flight in Order 66, or maybe he ejected. I think that speaks to the passion for those first six episodes. That the Dooku stuff, the Ahsoka stuff's great. It's great. The Dooku episodes are some of my favorite Star Wars storytelling. And so I think even when the rumors ended, to have it confirmed with this trailer and have the Jedi burned away, and it doesn't look like they're, you know, we're not getting Tales, Jedi, Tales, Empire, Tales, whatever on one day, I was slightly disappointed for what was lost or what is not out yet, including possibly with Ventress. But I'm also very excited about this trailer, very excited about these stories. So, hey, it's a blessing. We have so much Star Wars to get to, and we're getting so much Star Wars still these last 10 years plus. So I'll choose to look at it that way, that we could still get some of those blanks that Dave loves to fill in with these stories.
Yeah, and I think that is the connective tissue of what is he interested in filling in what is on his mind and why, because what future storytelling is coming down the line. I think for me, I was this is an opportunity to let go, because I got very excited about Tales of the Jedi. And when I was like, okay, it is Tales of the Empire. And then I honestly went online expecting to see people grumpy, and I didn't see anyone grumpy. I saw everybody excited about what was there instead of mad about what wasn't that we speculated. So I thought that was great, and thought, hey, the internet for once is doing a better job than me. So I'm going to let go and talking about it as a part of my process. I think for me, it's it wasn't just the Asajj thing. You know, I was really excited about that possibility. I think there's some Jedi storytelling I'm extremely hungry for. I felt like the first season of Ahsoka created a deep desire in me to know more about Sabine's first training journey, the first attempt to train with Ahsoka, because I want to know those emotional truths. I want to know how those characters came together to try that first training attempt that they then broke up from. I'm still curious emotionally to know Ahsoka's exact whereabouts during the Civil War, the Galactic Civil War. You know, and some fans think they have the answer. I don't think it's clear at all if she was trapped, stranded on Moorband, if she abstained. That's a thing I'd love to see. Luke and young Ben. Hey, Leia's training with Luke on screen. High Republic characters. The amount of Jedi stories I'm so excited for, I think, is something that I want to continue to be excited for and hope that they get around to. But I also want to be able to Jedi-like let it go And it's exciting to me. I'm excited about Tales of the Empire, but I'm also excited for the possibility that if this continues, that this could be just a really broad anthology. The original Clone Wars series is like, yep, the spine of it is Ahsoka. Anakin and Obi-Wan and Padme are the main characters, but you have an episode that's just Yoda. You have an episode, two-parter, where it's Mace and Jar Jar. You have an episode where it's Asajj. And maybe back in the day, people were mad at those as being filler episodes, but I love the Clone Wars because it has a solid spine, but it's also an anthology. And I think thinking about this Tales of series as it's kind of like the original Clone Wars. It's an anthology. It's wherever it needs and wants to go.
I'm really excited for that potential. Bring on Tales of the Bounty Hunter. Bring on Tales of Rebellion. Bring on Tales of Resistance. We have a chance to do something. Now, I will say, and this sounds cynical, but I don't think it's cynical. At least I'm trying not to be cynical. You know, the felony of it all so far, these two volumes very much feel about him going, hey, there's some things I want to tell and some things that he's understanding the fans want to hear. The Barriss Offee of it all we'll get to. And it's not just related to his stories. He's also been promoted where he has to worry about everyone's stories now. But it seems like there's great purpose. And I think some of my excitement goes beyond that, right, where I have to pull myself back a little bit to go, like, does Dave himself want to have Luke and young Ben? I think he might. Does Dave himself want to go anywhere? And as he gets higher up, maybe other people will get involved. And there's some wonderful writers and people we love, Jennifer Corbett and Amanda Rose Munoz. I'd love to see them get their hands on this kind of anthology series, because I agree with you that once you start thinking about it in these little bite-sized chunks, it's just so intriguing, the possibilities. So we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, I think like learning the fate of Yaddle. I know it was an interpretation of the Ahsoka novel, but seeing that thread of her trying to walk away from helping people and deciding to come back. It's like he set up a sandwich shop, and instead of selling sandwich, he's selling like answers to little beats you're curious about. So
yes.
I feel like we're all lined up at his answers deli going, I'm putting in an order for Filonis. This answer, you know,
come on, you yinzers, come get some answers.
You set up shop and you showed me how Yaddle died. Now I'd really like a Ahsoka's and Sabine's first training session on Rye, please. I think it is set up that vibe for me.
Yeah, I think you could get this. This to me now feels like the spot to get Cad Bane and Boba Fett. Exactly. All right, let's finally get it. Let's finally do it. I'd love to see that.
Yeah. I think what was interesting to me about this, even though it was like Jedi melted away, Empire, dark, gritty, it also felt like in some ways it is still the Tales of Ahsoka, because these are two villains who have their own story in their own right, which we're going to talk plenty about, but they are the shadows that help define Ahsoka. Yes. So it also kind of feels like, well, if this came about and Dave was like, what do you want to do next? Either it was his idea or somebody else's within Lucasfilm to do Empire. He's like, great. No Ahsoka. Still kind of going to be about Ahsoka, because these characters inform her and quite possibly the second season of Ahsoka.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm giggling a little bit. The Ahsoka of it all. And he should be very proud of that character, and he should be protective of the character. And there's so many wonderful stories. There's still, you know, the campfire conversation with Luke that you and I have always dreamed about. But I think you're right. There is shadows of Ahsoka all through this.
Right. Ahsoka telling Leia about her mother. I want that more than anything now. So we've talked about this for the most part, but I just want to make sure there's nothing else here that you want to talk about. So since the show, if it continues, maybe there won't be a third season, but it's now a Tales of the Blank. Tales of the Bounty Hunters is something that people have been excited about. A lot of people have a connection to those old books. Tales of the Rebellion would be fascinating. Right. Tales of the Bartenders with Uhera and Maz Kanata. Why not? If you're approaching this anthology series is a deli that sells answers and you're broadening that out far beyond the Jedi to just any little beat, any little moment, any character, are there other things that you can find yourself sort of salivating for if it's an anthology series and it's wide open to the entire galaxy?
Yeah, absolutely. I want to Tales of Resistance would be interesting to get into maybe some of the political landscape of Leia. I'm not saying a full on adaptation of Bloodlines, but just some of those moments with Leia the warmonger, and how look at her just trying to military on up again because she loves fighting these wars, and some of the stuff that led to the First Order coming back would be good, but also you know, setting up the New Republic government and how is that working, and could you get some of those characters from that era, you know, Tales of the New Republic. And have, you know, Zeb flying around with the X-Wing pilots and stuff like that. There's a lot of that kind of stuff. I'm trying to think of the big answers that I would want. And a lot of it's just Leia yelling at other political figures or Mothma yelling at political figures. I don't know.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes there's the answers like, you know, that Yaddle episode is great because it really is like whatever happened to Yaddle, we didn't know. But also just seeing Dooku erase, you know, the records about Kamino. But it's also just like the emotional answers as well. It's just seeing the arc of Dooku as a character, seeing how Ahsoka came back to the fight, seeing how Bail kept the faith, all that kind of thing.
Right.
So those characters were like, yeah, I'd be really happy with that answer in terms of like literally plot what happened, but also just like wanting the opportunity to feel the emotional journey. I think getting Boba in that armor, since they walked up to the edge of it in Clone Wars with those episodes they never produced. If that doesn't happen in Bad Batch, that would be very satisfying to me. I was thinking about Tales of Rebellion because that's an obvious kind of place to go from Tales of the Empire and jump around in the time. And I realized, no joke, this is not a Mustache joke. This is not an Alex Damon joke. I would love, actually, Biggs. I would love the story of Biggs wanting, like, being Luke's older brother mentor figure, wanting to get off Tatooine. The academy is the only way to go. And realizing, this ain't for me. And I'm getting out of here. That it would be really powerful to see that just sort of nuts and bolts story. We've seen, you know, Wedge and I believe it is Hobby, right? Defect in Rebels. But that's different than this kind of story, which could be like really small and really intimate of that feeling of, because that's always been kind of canon question of like, if Luke hates the Empire, why does he want to go to the Academy? Like, because it's this brutal real world thing of there's nowhere else to go. It's the only way off the planet.
Right.
It's a part of the power of the Empire. It's like there's nowhere else to go until the rebellion gets enough weight to it. So seeing that very real, like big story of like, I need to get out of here. And this is the only way out off the planet. Is yeah. Anyway.
No, that's a good one. That's a good one. Just call it Tales of the Mustache.
Yep. How many people expected us to spend more time talking about Biggs? At the top. All right. Thank you, everyone, for your patience. We're going to get into what we are actually being treated to of this great Tales of the Empire, focusing on Barriss Offee and Morgan Elsbeth. Very exciting. Let's talk about what's going to come to our screens on May 4th. Ken, we're not going to do the breakdown by breakdown of every frame of the trailer. Other people do that far better and far earlier than us. We're going to talk about some of the ideas, the characters, what's interesting to us. So what's interesting to you about Barriss Offee? What are you hoping to learn? And how does this focusing on this character have ripples to other Star Wars storytelling?
I'm looking forward. It seems like a cheat answer. I'm looking forward to her fate because her fate is tied to what I think would be her final choice. And I'm not just talking about whether or not she lives or dies and where she shows up later on, but this is clearly a story of someone who, as well documented in the season 5 ending arc with Ahsoka, wrongly framed for the bombing that this person did. There is what we sometimes talk about, this righteous beginning that turns self-righteous, justice that turns to vengeance, all these kind of things of it's the Saw Gerrera factor, Tales of Saws, another series I like to see. And this line of mercy only breeds defeat, but I will help you overcome this weakness, the Grand Inquisitor talking to her. And so the fact that she's becoming an Inquisitor, she joins the program. What's the reason why? Is it resignation? Is it my anger has led me here? And what's going to change her? You just get the sense. We're going to talk about the details of Morgan Elsbeth, but there's these two bookends of your choices and your anger and what to do with them. and how they fuel you and how they fuel your view of the galaxy at this point in the timeline. And I hate to just say, I want to find out what happens. Of course, that's what we're going to watch. But I think where she ends up is going to be an amazing case study for me.
Yeah, it was a thrill to see her in the trailer. It was a thrill to finally have an answer, because I think we have been on this sort of roller coaster of every masked inquisitor is like, could it be Bear Safi? Because she's, it seems incredibly like that's what would have happened to her. She's, right. You know, an already broken Jedi rotten in a prison when they're looking right. for Jedi to break, that she's already halfway there. So there's just the satisfaction of we have been at the answer deli. requesting a Bear Safi on whole wheat and we're getting it. So there's that excitement. But then when I watched the trailer and thought like, well, we're seeing a lot of the beats of the trailer, a lot of the thing, the reveal that it's about her, the reveal that she will confront Vader, the relationship with the Grand Inquisitor, all my mind went to is like, oh, this is absolutely, you know, if it is, I think it is six episodes, three of each. This is the heart of it is what does she choose? We've been treated to a decent amount of Inquisitor stories in you know, different mediums. But she's in this extremely unique position of she was right that the Jedi were dropping the ball. But she did this sort of very Machiavellian, the ends justify the means act to prove it. So does she feel guilt? Does she feel like she was wrong? Does she feel like I was right about the path of the Jedi, but I shouldn't have done the bombing. I shouldn't have framed people. I shouldn't have gotten people killed in an effort to stop the war. And, you know, I'll kill five people to stop the death of millions kind of morality. Does she feel validated, or does she feel like a sucker when the truth of the Clone Wars maybe filters down to her? You know, so her reckoning with her choice is a really interesting starting place.
Yeah.
She marches through this Inquisitor program. Why? To fulfill what need? Because she's broken, or because she has a newly shaped belief based on what actually happened?
Yeah, no, I'm curious how much, you know, as we look at the shadows of Ahsoka throughout this series of you know, I say often, and we've explored it here, of just Ahsoka represents what does it mean to be a Jedi for real in different eras, right? That's a question that I think the character is always asking of us. What does it actually mean? And you talk about Varys waking up on dawn of the next day after a safe and secure society is founded behind this new emperor and feeling like a sucker. If she has this almost a retroactive justice for the Jedi thing of, yes, I was right to question them. I was right to say this was all wrong, or a lot of it was, you know, just an incorrect approach, or what did I misunderstand of it? And how could I have done this better? And how could I have, you know, all those things come back to her saying, I've got to make a different choice again. And I don't know to what degree is she sneaking into the Inquisitors. We've had a little bit of those beats with Reva, you know, so I'm not saying they're going to repeat anything, and they're going to find an interesting way to explain what she's doing there and how far she's going to take it. But your idea of was I a sucker? What am I going to do with that information?
Yeah.
I need to be a Jedi. Yeah.
I think there is a shadow of Reva, because there's much about this story that I trust that it will be unique and specific, because Bears has a different story in her journey, her reflection of Ahsoka, her not being a young Padawan as Reva was during Order 66, but rather, you know, a disgruntled teen who was raised to, you know, preserve life and then is made to be a child soldier and thrown out there in war. And resenting that. So she's a different character than Reva because of her life experiences. Right. But with the Vader of it, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the question to me of, is there going to be some similarity there where she knows who Vader is? She's got Anakin's the one who captured her and brought her to justice.
Right.
Who figured, Anakin's the one who, you know, figured it all out. So what she wants from Vader is interesting to me. I kind of feel like it's not, I kind of feel like this is going to be Barriss's story. Like maybe she survives and maybe she can be, maybe she's an opponent to Ahsoka, but I more get the vibe of like, she's not secretly, you know, 18th sister, you know?
Right, right, right.
That this is going to be her journey. I kind of expect Berezovsky's story to come to a close. And I kind of expect it to contrast Morgan's, that where Morgan's very clear in her dialogue. And we know the end of her story of I manipulate the empire to get the power I need to do right by my sisters. At least that's the way I think it's going to go.
Right.
But there's that such clarity of like, I know exactly how I want to use my anger. And Bear is having to choose, like, how do I want to use my anger? Do I want to reveal Vader? Do I want to strike Vader down the way Reva did? Or do I want to just, I mean, is there a way that she's just going to say, I'm not, let herself be struck down because she's not going to participate ultimately? Is that, you know, could that be Bear's big victory of like, I went through this whole program, I marched up to it, I stood face to face to Vader, and I know it's Anakin, and I just said no, and he struck me down. And that's a, you know.
Right. Yeah, yeah. A breaking of the cycle of violence by sacrificing yourself to break it. Yeah, could be a part of it at play there. I kind of agree with you, too. I don't know why deep down I feel this, but I feel as though there will be a conclusion to her character here. That I don't think she shows up on Pretty in season two. Going, hi, Soka. I'm here to rescue you. I've had a change of heart. I thought about some things. I think we'll know.
So, yeah, very excited about all that. We can talk about it more with Vader's appearance there. But let's talk about Morgan Elsbeth. I'm very excited to just see more of the character and to get, you know, some interesting emotional answers. So what are you hoping to learn? And how do you think focusing on Morgan impacts other Star Wars storytelling?
Yeah, I think we're going to understand the relationship more. We're going to get some answers on Thrawn and his relationship to the Night Sisters and how he views them or views their story. How similar. I mean, you're talking to someone who, even in modern canon, it's like, hey, I'm going to go study the Empire to see if, you know, they're a threat to my people or what can I use to help them? It's all about the Chiss before the Empire, but I'm going to go stand next to Palpatine and carry out his deeds. And you see a lot of that with Morgan, right? Mm-hmm. That's exactly what she's planning. So I'm trying to see how that affects and how that'll give an answer going forward of how they came together, how Thrawn thinks, how Thrawn works. I love that. But I want to explore this idea of anger as a shaky foundation for strength. And how we can study that, again, a character study of this, and how we're probably, especially when it comes to the Night Sisters, anyone familiar enough with the story in the Clone Wars, it's already in a spot where you have a lot of empathy and understanding of where their pain comes from and how they were done wrong. And even though they might be dancing with the dark side a little more than I would like, you know, or like to, they mostly just were themselves, right? And so this is a much like Barriss, the start of her anger is understood and maybe even justified to a degree. But to play that out, to play that string out, I'm curious to study that path as it relates to her.
Yeah, I'm equally excited for them. I think, you know, a long-term Clone Wars fan finally getting Barriss's story only becoming more interesting as Inquisitors become such a big part of Star Wars. But there's been so many mysteries with Morgan. And, you know, the first season of Ahsoka had a lot of mysteries and a lot of tip-of-the-iceberg storytelling. And how Morgan exactly related to the Night Sisters was one of them. She does look different than the other Night Sisters.
Yeah.
A big part of her arc seems to be the validation that she heard the dreams, the whispered dreams of the other Night Sisters from afar, and they give her the gift. She sacrifices herself to become a full Night Sister. And it's like, it's like she accomplished everything she ever dreamed of to be a sort of full Night Sister. So there seems to be interesting things here about the culture of Night Sisters and what Morgan's actual story is that I think will inform us about Morgan's character, but also inform us about Night Sisters and their culture. If she is in some ways, and our friend Alex Damon over at Star Wars Explained has a great breakdown video of, I can't even remember, some extremely obscure source that has a hint. I think it's a story from that Clone Wars book.
Tales, that, and Sorry, Filoni's wife, partner wrote it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that hints at, ooh, could this be Morgan and a character who was adopted? I don't remember the details. I think they're going to be fleshed out here. And that's what I'm excited for. One of my favorite lines and ideas in the Kenobi show is how Kenobi relates himself to Leia of he has vague memories of his family of birth, but the Jedi became his family. Mm-hmm. Star Wars has such a profound idea of found family, everything from friends to, you know, even if you're the child of adoption, those are your parents. You choose your identity with Rey. And everything that's so interesting in Morgan's role in Ahsoka is about wanting identity, wanting to be a full Night Sister, that I'm really excited to kind of learn about Night Sister philosophy of adoption and belonging and meaning and identity and what makes you a Night Sister.
What makes you a Night Sister? What makes you a Jedi? What makes you an Inquisitor? These core questions.
Becoming. Yeah. And I think, you know, fans had this question, had this discussion of, you know, Night Sisters, they're known for hating the oppressors who destroyed their planet. So we got the glimpse of Grievous wrecking havoc on Dathomir. Great. But we also got the like, okay, now we're going to learn how she became a, you know, a valuable ally of Thrawn in the Empire. And what's her relationship? Does she not see Grievous as an extension of Palpatine? Does she not know that clear lineage between what happened to Dathomir and the power of the Empire being the Emperor? Or is she like, I know exactly what the Empire is, and I know Palpatine is the one ultimately to blame for my people's destruction, but I'm going to use the tool that he built, the horror of the Empire, to get what I want, which is the resurgence of my people, the Night Sisters. How are you feeling about that element of the story of understanding what Morgan knows, what she thinks, why she is hand in hand with the oppressors?
And what justifications in her soul does she take is interesting to me. And you know, I guess it's so fascinating when we first meet her on Corvus, and I'm really excited to go back in a weird way. She to me is that she's a, you know, this imperial magnate. She's this, I took her as this rich daughter of shipbuilders, and that it was from city, you know, from industry, and she was providing ships, and all that becomes true in a way. But to throw in the angle that it's much deeper, that it is much more about, she wasn't just a corporate opportunist. She wasn't a capitalist looking for a way to make money. The Empire is the way to do it. That was almost, now we might discover a cover for her true intentions. And I'm ready to explore the core of who she is. And this is someone who, you know, we see her kind of almost hiding her stripes, so to speak, as a Night Sister. And what that meant, and what formed her early on is a fascinating starting point with this character that I loved the first appearance of the character. And the connection to Thrawn was intriguing. I kind of thought she died, and not that I wanted the character to be a one shot and out, but I've been pleasant. My journey with the character is to be continued. I find myself continued to be surprised about how much I enjoy the character. Meaning, I thought she was a great seasoning for that second episode of Mando. And she's
season. Yeah, no, that's she's fabulous in that. And the Beskar spear that reappears here is great and all that. I really loved her role in Ahsoka, because I think it had there was so much in Ahsoka with this longing to return to what was, to get back to your culture. And in her role of succeeding, winning, she's one of the people who has a victory. She gets what she wants. The Night Sisters are returned to power, or at least returned to Dathomir and the ability. I'm just so fascinated with what what she can tell us about the Night Sisters. Cause I love Meryn in the First Jedi Fallen Order video game. And I love Asajj's journey, but she just seems like she has a different relationship to the Night Sisters. And I can't wait to see it get fleshed out. And kind of like her role in Ahsoka season one, Barriss is a character who lost her community in the Jedi and might be bleeping glad they're gone. Whereas Barriss Morgan, in contrast to Barriss, will do anything to return her people.
It's an interesting way to look at it too.
Whatever Barriss wants, I don't think it's the resurrection of the Jedi Order.
Right.
But yeah, be very interesting to see.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Okay, so there's lots of intriguing characters returning, and I think this is a good point to reflect. This is a 2-minute trailer. It's really short, but we see a lot, and these are shorts. This isn't a 16-episode season of half-hour shows. We saw a lot of this. Percentage-wise, we saw a decent chunk in terms of big reveals. We saw a decent chunk. We already saw a lot of this show, including a massive list of characters that are familiar to us. Thrawn. We saw the fourth sister, who is the Inquisitor from the Obi-Wan Kenobi show. The Grand Inquisitor, Wing, who was in that original Mandalorian episode with Morgan Elsbeth. Grievous. Merrick, the mystery Inquisitor from Ahsoka, who exploded into gas. The unnamed Inquisitor Ahsoka beheads in Tales of the Jedi Season 1. And that guy, Darth Vader. So, and maybe even more. It's a lot of characters that we know. So... out of that whole lineup of returning characters, who is intriguing to you and why?
I'll tell you why. Darth Vader. I'll tell you why. I love exploring Vader. We've done such a great job, both in the Ahsoka show. It's some of my favorite Anakin / Vader stuff. I, like you, huge fan of the Kenobi series. Love revisiting Vader there. Comics. I've drifted off the comics. We spent a lot of time with Vader, and I'm okay with some Vader breaks, right? I don't need Vader in every story. We've cracked the mask. We've looking at the broken man machine behind him. this, just this shot was enough to remind me, oh yeah, that guy's a threat. He's a problem. The way that it came across in the trailer, I want to see if, and that could be it, by the way, right? But, you know, the idea of him and Barriss having even a conversation is intriguing to me. But it's not unlike Palpatine showing up in Bad Batch just to do a political thing, and the alarm and the hushed, and you're just kind of like, oh yeah, that's one of our big baddies. I like that Vader here. I'm not saying I'm praising his power here. I'm just saying I like that it was just like, don't forget, Darth Vader will cut you. He's to be reckoned with.
I'm really excited to see Vader in this context, because it is about, you know, he and Barriss, he's totally informed by Barriss. We're not just seeing Vader, we're seeing Vader through Barriss's eyes. In relatively recent timeline wise, we'll see exactly what it is, exactly when Inquisitor, you know, program is up and running like this. Mm-hmm. But to see, you know, she knew the Anakin that would do anything to preserve, to save Ahsoka, and in theory, to preserve the Jedi Order. And him being, I'm sure he passed Grand Inquisitor in the halls. He has a different relationship with Barriss. And so to see that side of him, because Barriss will try to see that side of him, is fascinating. It's also just for me, we talk often of our perspective growing up, Gen X, and growing up with Obi-Wan Kenobi's line of Vader helped the Empire hunt down and destroy the Jedi. And then years go along and it's the Order 66 and it's the Inquisitors. But there's still that power of, like, it goes back to that Kenobi line, and this is how he did it, by being in charge of these Inquisitors, hunting down every little remnant of the Jedi or other Force-sensitive threats. And so much of the Vader in charge of the team of Inquisitors story has been in publishing. It's been in comic books mostly. So I'm just excited to see it on screen. And for people who don't or can't enjoy the publishing side, to see that side of Vader, that side of that story, as a team, the leader, the brutal leader of a team of Jedi hunters, is fun to see. We haven't seen that Vader on screen a ton. Mm-hmm. We've seen him, you know, given orders and that in Kenobi to the Inquisitors. We've seen a little bit of it in, like, video games, but not in something that's kind of like this, open to the wider public, who's really only going to watch things, not read or play video games.
I'm with you. And it's interesting. I've had my journey with the Inquisitors, or the Inquisitorious, it's been an interesting one, going back to the beginning when the Grand Inquisitor was the Inquisitor in the show at that point in time. Going back to Kenobi quote and all that stuff, of I wasn't sure what to think. It's like, do I accept this idea that there was a squadron of former Jedi or Force sensitive with red blades hunting down the Jedi with helicopter blades, which I don't know if I fully come around on. I don't have angst on them like I did a few years ago, I will admit. But I just am so intrigued by the Inquisitors more than I ever thought I would be. If that makes sense. And it is Reva. I'm such a big fan of the Reva character. Second sister in the first Jedi Fallen Order game. I think is done really well. And by the way, I don't want to, I like when we run into Inquisitors who are like, yeah, no, I'm good with my decision. Let's hunt down these Jedi dogs. Like, I'm good. I don't need everyone to be like, I've got some pain I'm working through, but I like when they explore that. And by the way, this is why I like the use of Vader here. I don't know how deep they'll get into it, but we're talking about two characters, Elsbeth and Barriss, who have a lot of anger and have a lot of purpose behind their anger. And you got the king of that in Anakin Skywalker, of where that will, the poster cyborg for the pain that causes. And I'm intrigued to have him there. Anyways, it's all exciting. And I also say this, so I think I got one over too, by the Inquisitors being mysterious and having these numbers and getting confused. Yeah, I don't remember who all of them are. You know, there's something I really like. They've done a great job with them. And to your point, as they roll out a little bit more, you know, live action Kenobi, one thing, but, like, can you imagine if they're in a movie at any point or something like that. Mm-hmm. On a scale. I'd like to see what people think of them.
They are like the probe droids at the beginning of Empire Strikes Back. They have just been spread out across all Star Wars storytelling. Mm-hmm. You know, we meet them in Rebels. There's a bunch of stuff to track in the Vader comic books. They're popping up in the Jedi Fallen Order game. They're popping up in live action in Kenobi. Now they're here, and it is that kind of Star Wars fan. If you're in deeper and tracking it all, it's fun to see where will the Inquisitors pop up. And I'll be honest, that was one of the biggest pops of the trailer for me, of like, this is Inquisitor cleanup, because we got a lineup of all of the ones we don't know much about. Merrick was a mystery, and maybe we'll get some clarity of like, yep, he was Inquisitor, and Morgan reanimated him for his adventures in Ahsoka, or their adventures. The cool mask, unnamed Inquisitor that Ahsoka beheads. But honestly, I was most excited about the fourth sister, because I really love the Kenobi show. And they had the Reva storytelling was fantastic. But I felt like the rest of the Inquisitors, you know, stomped and snarled a little bit, but we kind of didn't go anywhere with their stories. And when we had the one Inquisitor that we was new, the fourth sister, who is the one who is appears to be initially guiding Barriss. When I was just like, oh, there's an Inquisitor we don't know, that's for Kenobi to fight and take down.
Right.
And then she just kind of nothing happened with her in the show, which is fine. It's not, it wasn't Obi-Wan and the Inquisitors. But since that character in Kenobi was just sort of there, I'm really happy to see something be done with that character. Cause like, if we're going to keep throwing Inquisitors out there, every once in a while, let's clean up. Which one is it? When did they die? What was their viewpoint? All that.
Oh yeah. We're going to have some Inquisitor trading cards or a chart and graph to track it all. The brother might be the sixth brother that Ahsoka killed, but no one can say for sure. And who knows? It could be, there could be six brothers. You could just take these numbers. Do they keep going up? Is it like baseball numbers? Do you retire numbers down the way? Number two is Derek Jeter and the second sister. You can't wear that number anymore. But I'm with you. I'm with you. There was, I don't even say it as a giant criticism, but the fifth brother, who we were familiar with to a degree, fourth sister, show up. You're right. That's a great description. They stomp and snarl, but it wasn't their story. And I like that there's a well you can go to. And now all the, the Merrick of it all, I understood. I personally had a hearty laugh when he just is sliced in two and disappears in a witch haze. But it doesn't mean he didn't exist before. And you can now explore it maybe. And I, by the way, I don't even think you're going to see much of him, but I just like that he's there.
No, it isn't actually Inquisitors line up and give us your backstory. I don't think, Barriss is going to go on like a speed meet and greet with all the Inquisitors and get answer.
Where were you?
A little bit more context. Fill out them Wikipedia pages just a little bit more. Yeah. Make poor Alex Damon have to redo his Inquisitors video again.
Already out of canon.
I'm also just thrilled to see Grievous in live action. In modern animation.
That's so good. It feels like live action.
Exactly. We've been recording for a while this eclipse morning. The advancements in this wonderful Clone Wars style animation, to see Grievous back, to see him in this great animation. It's cool for Grievous. It's also just like a great reminder of what's great about these anthology series is how they touch so many different eras of Star Wars.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really excited. Grievous is a character I've come around on over the years. Meaning, I used to say he was disappointing to me because I wanted, he was hacking and coughing, and then I kind of realized, oh, that's the point. We've discussed it so much. I love what Grievous represents in the Clone Wars series and in Revenge of the Sith. He is broken. He sold his soul to become more powerful, and he's a coward who runs away. And his, his little meat sack organs are the only thing he's got left. And it is a harbinger things to come for Anakin, and that's the point and that's the purpose. I did see while I was traveling, I watched a couple people talk about this trailer, and a lot of people are really excited to see Grievous in a menacing light, and I really understand that. And who knows, maybe he runs away from this fight too. But there's something to like, all right, yeah, let's see all four of those blades out and let's be really terrified. And it's a reminder of, you know, why he had his position and why he was, you know, frightening to a lot of people in the galaxy.
Yeah, I mean, I think he is frightening in Clone Wars 3D, you know.
Oh, yeah.
He absolutely is. It's devastating when he, in this context, destroys Dathomir. The Lair of Grievous is a great Clone Wars episode. But there is that legacy with Grievous of, you know, you taught me the wrestling phrase of putting someone over.
Right.
Idea of how much you set somebody up. You know, I was familiar with that idea from sort of comedy and how much you build somebody up before they come on stage, right?
Storytelling.
How much you hype them before they come up on stage, like,
yeah.
And Genndy Tartakovsky's 2D did really put Grievous over big time. I think more than he had room or intention to be a menace in Revenge of the Sith. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
This might give us a chance to really revisit and highlight the Grievous character. I'd be excited to do that down the line.
Yeah.
Without being snarky and finger wagging of I, too, in 2005 had the question of why is he coughing? The answer is important. The answer is big for Star Wars. But it's fair to ask, why is this menacing villain coughing? So he's not going to be coughing here, I don't think.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't wait to see him in all of his modern animation glory. You touched on the importance of the lessons of the dark side, which I think are all over this trailer. The trailer features text popping up on the screen there where it says two stories, one path to the dark side. And then Yoda's great quote, fear, anger, hate, suffering. This is a show that I think maybe people are excited about because of the characters, but also because it is dark and gritty and ominous and pain and anger and rage and everything that can be fascinating, a chance for us to look on the darker side of our natures and ask ourselves, what if all that the dark side storytelling in Star Wars is so good at. But Star Wars storytelling is also ultimately committed to, let's have fun with the villains. They make real good toys, but the lesson of them is this is horrible. And so how are you feeling about that when something called Tales of the Empire that does look cool, a lot of red blades, how do you think it's going to show the folly of the dark side, the tragedy of it?
With the suffering, and do you make others suffer? Do you carry the suffering with you? And does that break you? Does that cause you to change? Or does it cause you just to keep throwing logs on the fire and fueling the hate and keeping that cycle going? It's interesting that it's Tales of the Empire when that rumor kind of was first circling around. Still to this day, don't know the details of the series. It was just kind of a title and release date floating around the rumor sphere. And it was like, all right, this is a tale of how they built the AT-ATs. Is it the Veers' story? Like the rise of Moffs? Like what is the Tales of the Empire? And for it to actually start pre-Empire or right at the dawn, I'm fascinated by what lessons it will have for us around. You call it the folly of the dark side, how this all leads to suffering and what that suffering is, suffering for you, suffering for others, and suffering for the galaxy. I think it's going to be an interesting exploration for such a marketable title. So we've seen, you mentioned it, we've got merchandise out there now. I have a couple, you know, I don't collect them as much, but I have a couple Empire shirts I've held on to because they're kind of cool.
Yeah, no, I saw a Morgan action figure when I was in Minneapolis for the holidays and I couldn't stop myself. I was like, she's great. Gotta get it.
Yeah,
I think I love using that old Yoda quote, which is so powerful, fear, anger, hate, suffering, in that point, as you're saying, of it is so easy to feel a flood of energy when you get really angry and you're like, I've had enough and I'm going to do something about it. And then I think from there can either be I've been angry and now I'm motivated. So I'm going to make a plan of a practical good thing to do. I've flooded with anger. I feel motivated. So I'm just going to lash out. And that the story of Star Wars is always that does not bring you happiness. That does not bring you what you want. And you know, I think this isn't called Tales of the Sith because of the pedantic. None of these characters are Sith. They're Darksiders. Right.
Right. Right.
But I also think it's called Tales of the Empire because I think it's going to be a story about two people who were victimized and wounded by the dark side, by the Empire, as this manifestation of Sheev willing it into existence as a form of the dark side, that like the dark side become a government is what the Empire is. It's about two characters who are victimized by it, caused fear and anger and pain. And how do these two characters try to use this system of the Empire, this extension of the Sith, to get what they want? With Morgan, it's fairly clear. She thinks she can use the system of the Empire to get what she wants. And so will Barriss's story be the system of the Empire is trying to use her to get what they want, to have her be an Inquisitor. So is it going to be a story of her rejecting that system? But I think it's fascinating to have that title because it's about two people trying to decide how to function within this system that represents the dark side.
Yeah, and I love it as a possible. Again, we got to see these six episodes and see where they go. But just a possible exploration of the true building blocks of that empire that you see in the T-shirts.
Yep.
I love that.
Yep. Any other specific moments in the trailer that you want to talk about as we wrap up?
There's one line in there could apply to the entire series, but it just got me excited. And it's related to some of the stuff you're talking about. But everything comes at a cost. And that belief that either you're the one that thinks this is the way of it, and I've got to take my cost. I'm going to take it from you. I'm going to get mine, or that you've got to deliver that the cost that people have to pay has to come from you. No mercy. And that was just a thematic sentence. I love those little lines that just are kind of like, oh, here's what this is going to explore, along with what you're saying there. But in terms of action, you know, the weapons that we got, the Grievous fighting off, with the Night Sister kind of blades going on there. That looks cool. Explosion scene, battle droids again. It just was a well put together trailer. I do agree with you that there's a lot there. I think we've got some key beats already kind of shown. We'll see which way they go. But, it's going to happen. But the trailer was effective because it got people excited. So all those little moments, all the explosions, all the blades, all the fighting. All the sirens blaring. I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm very excited too. There are a lot of great individual moments. I think I did have I want to remember that these episodes are short and we saw a lot of the pops. And I think there are big answers of understanding who Morgan is and how she survived and her exact relationship to the Night Sisters, Barriss's ultimate choice, how she feels about the choices she made in the Clone Wars. Some of these big emotional answers are there, but I kind of feel like that we're hyped, but we're also, we saw a lot because these episodes are not long. So I'm excited to see a Grievous fight against what looked like some flaming Night Sister scythes.
Yeah.
I'm all for that. Let's go. But that's the scene, right? That's it. You know, and we know it now. One of the moments that grabbed me the most, and this is a weird place to wrap up our conversation. But Barriss's bloody nose,
it's a great moment.
It's a scene we've seen before of Grand Inquisitor kind of trying to, teach her the whole mercy, everything that Jedi taught you is weakness. Anger is the true strength. I'm going to drive mercy out of you. Big force push. Like, great. The blood dropping on the floor in her nose is like, it was just kind of a moment that's a little bit more graphic, a little bit more brutal. And it felt a little kind of honestly fresh to me. A different way to make us feel a character's pain, because Star Wars has, traditionally, and I think for its good, been light on blood. There's been a lot of cauterization, a lot of ambiguous lightning pains. But to just viscerally see this, I don't know how old she's supposed to be, teen, young adult. Being bloodied was like, that was visceral. It hit me. It felt different. So I'm really excited to see in this show beats that make me feel the dark side in a visceral way.
You know, it's it's organic pain, right? It's real. It's blood. It's coming from the inside. I think you're right. I think it was a wonderful moment too. And just to look on her face. And again, we'll find out her answers, her choices and what she's actually thinking during that moment. But I agree with you. It stood out. Something.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Very, very excited for this. I hope people continue to be excited for it. I'm excited for all of the possible tales of the whatever in the future. But right now, I'm looking forward to May 4th and being able to just binge through these episodes quickly. And we'll decide exactly how we're going to cover them. But very excited for Tales of the Empire. Any final thoughts from you, Ken?
No, excited as well. May 4th is a great way to get these out. Do it every year. Do it every year. Tales of the Jedi, Rebellion, the Bounty Hunters, the Bartenders. You got a great idea there. Hey, we need Tales of Meeber Gascon.
That's
Dave,
right.
Finish that story.
Yeah, absolutely. Tales of the Janitors. We can get Opeepit's full story.
Opeepit.
Bring it on. Bring it on.
The Rise of Opeepit.
How did he choose? How did he choose? All right, Ken, you want to let people know where they can find us?
I do. We got to get out of here. I got dogs barking. Chihuahuas in the background going crazy. We're a Force Center show. We can be found on social media at Force Center Pod. That's Twitter, Instagram, Threads, Hive, all those places. We are on Facebook at Force Center Podcast. We're on YouTube here. If you're watching us or if you're listening, go check us out over there. Subscribe. Hit that notification bell. You can also get merch at tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter. Support us directly at patreon.com/ForceCenter. And you can follow me at KatNapsock. Go to my website, KatNapsock.com. Joseph, where can they find you and upcoming showings of any films?
Yeah, you can find me on all the social media at Joseph Scrimshaw is my handle. I'm going to be updating my website, josephscrimshaw.com, with more showings of our horror short, The Nightmare Adorable. It played a festival this past weekend and won an award. Hooray! It's coming up another screening in, I forget which one. So it's on my website, and it's coming up in... in Seattle, the May 4th weekend. So that's going to be an interesting adventure to balance a little bit of a horror convention and Star Wars. Hey, perfect time for me to roll around in the dark side. So if you're interested in that and other filmmaking adventures, you can find all the info on my website, josephscrimshaw.com. Ken, take us home.
All right. That is it. We're gone. We'll see you next time. We'll go fight Grievous. Bye. See you next time here in Force Center.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.